Thank you, Tom. I am Michelle, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm glad I got in here on time. I said, well, I'll get there before 11:30, but I see that we filled up, and so they had to close the door. My anniversary date is March the 22nd, 1983. I'm a member of the Old Fashioned Group in Washington, D.C., 8:30 meeting, and I am a part of Area 13, where I serve as the Archives Committee Chairperson. I want to thank my pigeon for submitting my name for this opportunity, and also thank the convention committee for selecting me, or whatever process they use, for the opportunity to share just a little bit this morning on our topic of let go and let God. I've been letting go since I came in 83. It wasn't always necessarily letting go immediately with a God that's in my life today, but I did have a let go experience when I surrendered to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had a let go experience when I also had the first 12 steppers, two sisters, who were 12 stepped me into this program. I was letting go at the time. I wasn't aware that's what I was doing, because I asked the question, how in the world do you let go? How do you let go? And as she shared with me early on, very early on, she said, you're letting go now by sharing with her, by crying, 40 years of crying that I should have done, but not me. I wasn't going to cry. And the controlling person that I am and can be, you know, I wasn't going to let anybody help me. But as I traveled through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I came to believe in a power greater than myself, which is a power that I call God today, I began early on turning my will and my life over to the care and protection of this God. But early on in sobriety, I really was turning things over to the group. I was turning things over to the sponsor, and, you know, because I knew about a God, but not yet had I turned my will and my life over to him. But what I did find out early on was I had more problems than drinking. Stopping drinking was not all it was to this fellowship. When I began to really pray, praying is a way for me to let go and let God. Crying is a way for me to let go and to let God. When I found out that I had more problems than alcohol, and realized that my own self-will was the thing that got me in trouble, my behavior and my attitude, I needed this power. And just let me share, when I do let go and let God, the experiences and the benefits and the gifts from letting go and let God. I don't obsess about problems. I stay out of the way. You know, I turn it over to this higher power who relieved the obsession to drink alcohol and have solved problems in my life. But letting go and letting God has been a process. Not a day at a time thing, and not overnight. I realized that I needed this help long ago. I was one of the ones who, in my process of letting go and letting God, was introduced to a God box. So I used the God box. They told me to put my problems on a little strip of paper, throw them in there, You know, go back in a month or 3 weeks or so and see if the problem was still there, if the problem had been resolved or on its way to being having a resolution. And that did work. Like I said, I had more problems than just drinking. And one of the situations or experiences that I really needed to turn my will and my life over and let go and let God was when my children and I were homeless. Homeless in the sense that I had lost our place, but my mom took me in, so I wasn't completely homeless as like being on the street. However, we didn't have our own address. That was a situation of putting the God box, and I left it there. And 3 months into this program, we were able to find a home. I was renting at the time, and then 4 or 5 years later, you know, we were able to start purchasing this home, and I'm still there today, 32 years later, you know. And so when I turn things over to the God of my understanding, you know, like I mentioned, I'm not obsessed with it. I'm not, you know, trying to control it, the situation. What happens is I have peace in the midst of storms. And that's what's turning these situations and problems over to God means to me. You know, when my husband became ill, you know, I was led once again through this God that I have. And, you know, just leading, just being led. And I put that situation over into God's hands. And what happened so very quickly was that he was diagnosed with cancer. And I was going to look for a car, and I was directed always to getting a van. I said, God, I don't want a van. What do I need a van for? Well, I said, well, it's not going to pass anyway because my credit's messed up. It ain't going. Everything went through. There was no blockage. Everything went through. I finally let go, and I said, okay, I'll get this van. I kind of preceded what happened, but 6 months later, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And then I come to realize that I have this van because now I can take him to his appointments with the wheelchair. I can just put it in the back of the van. I can, you know, take him around, can put his oxygen in the van. And so I finally come to realize that was the reason that I was led to getting this van. And it, once again, God stepped in. No, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to share also that every time that I let go and let God run my life, the results and the outcomes are always better than what I could have planned. Like I came down here, I'm a part of a planning committee for women, a conference coming up. And when I got here, I didn't make the copies because I didn't want to put all these amount of copies in my luggage. So I said, well, I'll make the copies when I get here. But I come here and I find out that where are the copying places? Other than the business center that's going to charge me 20 cents a page, I said, my goodness, I want to be kind of economically sane. I said, I don't want to pay 20. And then the people at the hotel said, well, we can, it's about a $20 cab ride to some place to get copies. And when I came back from the center last evening, I went back to the hotel. I was looking for directions that somebody would left me. They weren't there. But the gentleman, the employee at the hotel, said, I'll make the copies for you. And woo, God once again stepped in, you know, every time that I let go of situations. Another experience as well, like I said, I had so much controlling, you know, all into my children's, grown children's lives. I mean, they needed my help, so I thought, you know. And so, and what, trying to do these things on my, what happens is I get headaches, I get emotional disturbance on the inside, you know, but when I become willing to let go and let God, you know. Once again, it's a type of surrender for me. Whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, whatever the person is, whoever the person is, whatever the situation is that I have no control over. When I turn that situation or that place or that person or that family member over to God, I stay out of it. I'm able to stay out of it. It's not like sometimes I don't think about it sometimes, but I kind of can catch myself, say, God, help me to leave it in your hands. And when I ask for the help, I always get it. And as a result of that, I get better. The people around me get better because I'm not messing with them. If I have a God, then I had to come to learn that they have a God. Now, like I also mentioned, this has been and continues to be a process, a daily turning over problems and situations to God, you know. And I have, you know, peace within. I've struggled. I recently lost my dad. And also letting go and letting God for me is allowing myself to feel the feelings, good and bad. That is allowing myself to let go and let God. And it's cleansing. It's healing when I'm able to do that. And it just works. It just works in my life. And it is a daily journey. It is a daily practice. I'm still learning how to do this, let go and let God, because I'm not perfect at it. But I understand the principle. I do understand this principle. And really, and many of the steps have helped me, especially that third step prayer, that 11th step, and also that seventh step prayer. And I'm just so privileged to be sharing this convention with everyone today. I've been to the one in San Antonio. I think this is my second one, you know. And also need to let go of yesterday. I need to, this experience right here is joyful, it's wonderful, and it's going to be, you know, something I'm going to be thinking about for a long time. But it's going to come a point in time where, you know, it's just going to be a memory, and I got to let it go so God can, you know, prepare me for the next miracle, the next blessing that will come in my life, you know. And it just works when I let go and let God. It's not that it's so easy, but it makes me calm and easier. And I want to thank again my sponsee and all of you there for listening. And I just want to share this little card that I got from one of the vendors, and to letting go. To let go is not to stop caring. To let go with God is recognizing I can't do it for someone else, and I can't do it a lot of times for myself. I do have to have the faith, and I do have to do the footwork, just like with the home. I had to put in the applications. I mean, I wasn't just sitting there, just sitting in a chair, letting go and letting God. I said, you send the house, you know? There's some action I had to take, you know? But where I don't have any control, or I have done all that I can do, you know, I surrender and I let go and I let God. Prior to this concept or this principle, I would be knocked to letting go and letting God. You know, I'm not letting my hands off of this situation yet. And pain comes with that. Pain comes with that. But if I go to God first and realize that it's I can't do, God shows up and does what I cannot do on my own. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning and from consequences, natural consequences. To let go is not to fight powerlessness, but to accept that the outcome's in God's hands and not in my hands, the outcome of situations. To let go is not to try to change or blame others. It's to rake in the most of myself, to make the most of myself, to care about others, but not, like we say, we carry the message, not the alcoholic, you know. To let go is not to try to fix me or others. It is to be supportive of others. To let go and let God is not to judge. It's to allow another to be a human being, just like this fellowship and the God of my understanding has allowed me to be. To let go is not to try to arrange the outcomes, you know? Because the outcomes in God's hands are always better than the outcomes in my hand. You know, I got to pray, to sit still and wait, you know, to be patient. And when I let God work me, I tend to get patience. Many of the times, not all the times, but some of the times. To let go is not to be protective. It is to permit another to face their own reality. And that's what I had to do, face my own realities after the drinking in my life. Because I've come to realize that prior to getting here to Alcoholics Anonymous, that as they say in our literature, the alcoholic was full flight from reality. They didn't say half. You know what I say? Full flight from reality. And God helps me to stay in reality today. To let go is not to regulate anybody, but to strive to become what I dream I can be. To let go is not to fear less. Many of my fears were removed, or I just stepped out there on faith when I was still fearful and just did what I needed to do. And to let go is to love more under the grace of God. Thank you.
We started the meeting a couple of minutes early because I'd been advised that the doors were closed and they weren't letting anybody else in. You know, if anybody that did come in, you know, missed the first part of it, I apologize for whatever. But that I thought that was the right thing to do. Our second speaker is Wayne.
Thank you, sweetheart. My name is Wayne, and I live in Leesburg, Florida, and I am alcoholic. My friends call me Tennessee. Some of them call me a few other things. In case no one has informed you, I'm a little bit of a bent fender myself. So if I say something you disagree with, please don't be offended. It happens to me all the time. First of all, don't be impressed by these clothes. I saw me a couple hours ago without them, and I was not impressed. Let's have a good time. Let's have a good time. That's what this is all about. Let's see what we can learn and have a good time. I mentioned to you I'm a bit of a bent fender. I know what I'm supposed to talk about. I feel a little bit like Liz Taylor's seventh husband on the honeymoon. He knew what he's supposed to do. He just trying to figure out some way to make it a little more interesting. And that's about what I'm doing right now, friends. Let's have a good time. Y'all want to? I have. Thank you. I have a little love poem that I received in the mail not long ago from an old girlfriend. And it really covers your conception of things, okay? How you look and perceive things. And I thought about that when I was thinking about letting go and letting God. This little poem is apropos for me. Susie Lee done fell in love and she planned to marry Joe, and she was so happy about it all she told her pappy so. And Pappy told her, "Susie, gal, you have to find another. I just assume your ma don't know, but Joe's your half-brother." So Susie put aside her Joe and planned to marry Will. But after telling Pappy this, he said there's trouble still. Now, you can't marry Will Miguel, and please don't tell your mother, but Will and Joe and several more I know is your half-brothers. But Mama knew and said, my child, just do what makes you happy. You marry Will or marry Joe, because you ain't no kin to Pappy. Perception. When I came in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not come here on a winning streak. I came in the rooms in 1991. My sobriety date is the day after the 4th of April in 1991. I say it that way. My sponsor said it's not nice to mention the word fifth around this many alcoholics. And I know beyond any shadow of doubt this is the biggest church basement I've ever seen. When I came in, I asked an old gentleman to be my sponsor. And down the road 3 or 4 years, I asked him why he ended up being my sponsor. And he told me, he said, we drew straws and I lost. And my friend was named Marvin. But he didn't start out being my friend, I'll tell you that. I didn't get suggestions. What I got was what the book calls clear-cut direction. He didn't give me any wiggle room. I asked him one time. He said, well, you need to start making coffee to help you get sober. I said, Marvin, I've been making coffee for 40 years. I've been drunk the last 25 years. What's coffee got to do with it? And he said, AA coffee's different. I started making coffee, haven't had a drink of liquor since. So AA coffee is different. I understand what Marvin was telling me. He did not give me options. And he didn't tell me I needed balance. What he told me is I need to learn what the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. And through my work with Marvin and those 12 steps, I found out I can't do God's will my way. The only thing today that gets in my way is my way. And it does it every time. And y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I found out God don't have to do do-overs. He does it right the first time. That don't mean he's going to do it my way or your way. He's going to do it the right way. See, I want it quick. I want it. Now I'm looking for that instant fix. I want pow, all over, done with. Guess what? Don't work that way. I prayed to get sober, but this ain't what I had in mind. And I venture to say most of y'all didn't either. But here we are. I had to unlearn some things that I had been taught as a child. And that's not pleasant. Growing up when you're full size is not pleasant. And that's what these steps is about, by the way. Step 1, 2, and 3 is about giving up. Step 4, 5, and 6 is about cleaning up, inside and out. 7, 8, and 9 is about paying up. And 10, 11, and 12 is about growing up. These are up steps, folks. This is when you get to take a step up. One of the things that I learned in here, people run around, well, when all else you can pray. When all else fails, pray. Why do you have to wait for everything in the world to fail before you turn it over to God? God can and will fix it for you. Why do you have to wait for everything to fail? And I know some of y'all heard this one. Well, God helps those that help themselves. Not true. God helps people who ask for help. That's how I got sober. I asked for help. He didn't do it my way. But he done it. There'll be times in your life when you will go through tough spots. The book talks about certain trials and low spots ahead. Guess what that means? That means they're certain. That means they coming. God don't love you more just because you're sober. That don't make you a good person. Relapse don't make you a bad person. God doesn't love you any less when that happens. God's love is unconditional. And so's His care. But He's a gentleman. He won't shove it on you. But if you earnestly ask, His time and His watch is perfect. Mine's not. Do you ever have trouble get something on your mind that you're not willing to turn over and you have trouble sleeping? Yeah, these people say, count sheep. Well, if that don't work, try talking to the shepherd. A lot of times all I have to do is say, God, I need a little help. I got stuff on mine that don't belong in there. I know it never happens to you, but sometimes there are more people in my head than there is in this room. And they're talking a bunch of trash, and I know it's trash. But in my weak and worn out and maybe painful condition, I'll listen to some of it. But when I get tired of listening to them, I got to gather all those clowns up and take them to an AA meeting. And guess what? They shut up for about an hour. And I get a little rest. And I can go back out there and do what I'm supposed to do. I found out there's a difference between my job and God's job. I got to let Him do His stuff, and I just try to do little bitty stuff. And we made a deal, okay? God started taking care of all the little bitty stuff, and He let me take care of the big stuff. After 24 years, I'm still waiting for some big stuff to show up, okay? I found out that God can't fix what I'm fooling with. I did not know that, you know. I thought it was all my business. Well, come find out it wasn't. As long as I'm working on it, He can't fix it. I was sitting in an AA meeting, and you can't make this stuff up. I was sitting in an AA meeting, and there was a young lady sitting on the second row, and she made this statement. She said, I'm having a hard time getting a grip on letting go. And I said, would somebody run that by me one more time? Now, I'm not real quick, and I'm not real sharp. I mean, it takes me about an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. But the next day, what that lady said made perfect sense to me. It made perfect sense. I understood where she was coming from. I had been where she was. So, like I said to begin with, if some of this stuff you don't agree with, don't worry about it. Don't let it bother you. It ain't going to bother me. You do the best you can where you are. And if you stay here 100 years, the highest you ever get in Alcoholics Anonymous is sober. That's as good as it's going to get for us. And that's as good as it's going to get for you. And that's all I want. If you're having a hard time letting go, try this. Quit holding on so tight. A lady told me, she said, I can recognize everything I've turned over to God but the size of the claw marks on the side of it. And I understand that. Been there and done that. I want to thank you for your patience, your love, and your prayers. And this is my favorite. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He was my friend. But then instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. And at last I'd snatched them back from Him and cried, "How can you be so slow?" And He said, "My child, what could I do? You never did let go." Thank y'all.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Shell, and I'm an alcoholic. Howdy. Love you. I'd like to thank my special loved one from Mickey Powell for showing up to support me. Yeah, there's a lot of us here. It's through them people that have been letting go and letting God for the last 34 years. Thank you. My sobriety date is July 21st, 1980. Really? You know, some people in the program say they wasted so much money on liquor. Well, I never wasted one dime. And if you want to know why I made that statement, turn and look at the person next to you. That's right. I had to drink to get to you people. And I do not regret it. I've been letting go and letting God. I come into this program and I can remember kneeling at Assumption Church back in St. Paul, Minnesota. I says, God, I don't want to drink anymore. I figured that he would just take that awful desire to drink. That's all I wanted. I wasn't counting on you people. You know, I wasn't counting on being able to share at a world conference. And by the way, I'm working on step 6 and 7 today. They say we ask God to remove our shortcomings and fears. Well, how do we know if we don't get them removed unless we walk through the fear? And about an hour ago, I had a lot of fear. Yeah, I know. But and just sitting up here and listening to the other two speakers tonight, today, it made me realize this is just a bunch of this is just a big meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we just got to let go and let God. And we do that the day we walk in, day A, when we say we're licked. And they say, come to a meeting. And they say, get a sponsor and I'll work the steps. Well, I worked the steps. And he'll give you some side results as it. As we work the steps, we get to know more people. And more people. And one of the biggest fears is, how am I supposed to... They kept saying in the program, you're not traveling as hard for an alcoholic. Well, I find that to be not true. Because I just come with you people. You know what the neatest thing about being an alcoholic is? God gives us people to go on vacation with. No, I'm serious. He said, you got a fear of travel? Okay, we'll have you come to Atlanta this week and we can band together with people from other countries. But if we don't come to this conference, we won't get that. You know? So we just have to keep coming. And I prayed. I was nervous. I was scared I was going to miss a meeting. Scared I was going to get up here and freeze. But all that fear and that, it's prior to the contempt, you know. If we just follow the steps, if we just listen to people in the program, you know, we can get that. And we all got that because we couldn't handle our liquor and drugs. We got that because we can't handle it. It's something how God says, I've got something very special for you, but first you have to pay a price. My using was that price. for some of the finer things in life, you have to become. I have to pay the price. And then once we find out we're in trouble, we ask God to help us out. And he'll say, okay, I'll help you out, but what are you going to do for me? You know? What are you going to do for me? And as you gradually go along in this program, he'll give you opportunities. My good friend Tommy over there is saying that, he said, I'll invite you to speak at the deal down in Atlanta. I couldn't believe it. How far I've come from that time when I went into treatment. Didn't care whether I lived or died. And we just have to follow God's plan. You know, it's not all work. This is joy for us. You see how hard we've worked on our sobriety the last 5 years? The heartaches, the disappointments. So he'll give us a blast every 5 years. You know? It works. And another thing, when you, like, you know, just pray. Just pray that God help me. I'm scared, and he'll help you. And just keep doing it. I know. I'm telling everybody back home that I'm scared, I'm nervous. But you know what? That's working the sixth and seventh step today. Remove my fear. God, will you remove my fear? Or he'd say, okay, I'll remove my fear, but what are you going to do for me? This is a partnership between God and us. And if you're out there thinking, oh, I'll never want to be able to be a speaker at a big-time convention, you never know. You'll never know when God's going to strike and says, I want you to do this. But it does. It'll work if you work it. And there are fears like, God, I hope I get plain, don't get... But just got to let go and let God. Just keep going. And you know what? He'll surprise you. You know, and if you're asked to speak at something like this, don't be afraid. Don't say that you're not qualified. Because all the time while I grew up, people saying that I'm not qualified to do this, I'm not qualified to do that. God thinks I'm qualified to do this. God thinks I'm qualified to lead meetings. But if we don't do it, if we don't do the footwork, you know, he'll lead us in a direction. But if we're just willing to do the footwork, countless stories of surprises are being laid down for us. And it's working. Now the pressure's been relieved on me. No, I mean, you knew the pressure that I felt myself. And I'm guilty as anybody else. Before doing big things like this, we build up pressure. We put pressures on ourselves. We just don't think we're good enough. We just don't think we're good enough. But you know what? The only thing we have to do is put one step ahead of the other. God will do the leading. But it's up to us to do the footwork. And you say, okay, God, I want to stay sober. And he said, okay, go to AA. You know, that's letting go and letting God there. How many people think that when we first come into program, oh, I'll never get this, I'll never be able to do it. You're doing it. You're getting results. You're getting to know people from all over that are just like us. And that's, and then another thing is, I think that God wanted us in this program ever since I was a baby. Ever since we were little ones, and even before. And the only way he could get us in this program was to allow us to drink and use. Because how else are you going to get here? How else are you going to get here? You know? You have to do... You, sort of like... Our using is the price of admission. For some of the finest things in life, we gotta be willing to pay the price. Now, in this case, God didn't tell us what the prize was. He just says, "Go ahead and use, drink, and enjoy yourself." And then, when he seen that we had enough, he'll step in. He'll step in. And we'll do it. We're doing the deal together, him and I. Him and us, you people are. No matter where we come from in the universe, no matter what we've done, he band us all together. Any shape, size, form, whatever. We had to pay a heavy price. And once we get in here, our dues are all paid up. Isn't it nice to know we're in an organization where we don't have to go back and pay any more dues? Whereas other organizations have a yearly due. Yearly dues. We don't. God says, I'm going to have you do all your using all at once. And then when you said you've had enough, I'm going to pull a plug. You know, well, that's what he did in my case. But it'll work. And just be thankful. And in 5 years, maybe one of you people out here can be up here. Hey, don't worry. If drinking and using didn't kill you, this won't. No, it's truth. And I'm going to close now, but thanks for helping me work on step 6 and 7, because I didn't think I was ever good enough to do it at one time. Thank you, and we're letting go and letting God together.